Hi, welcome to the Mind War. I'm Jim Stewartson. We are here with my dear friend and podcast co-host High Fidelity, and we're gonna go on a bit of a journey because we think it's important, to highlight some of the history behind what led to the theft of 2016 election, and a lot of other, very serious fuckery over the years. So, welcome, Hi-Fi. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. It's, I don't know. There's a lot of things that are happening right now that are really connected to the past. And, it's funny. It's almost like watching history explain itself.
Right. Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's super interesting. As all of these sort of revelations come out, right? It all just fits perfectly with what we already know. And in fact, shines a lot more light on things that we've talked about before. One of those revelations is the former head of counterintelligence of the New York FBI, Charles McGonigal, being indicted for being a Russian asset. Not only a Russian asset, but a Russian asset who worked for Oleg Deripaska, who is the same guy who employed Paul Manafort, Donald Trump's campaign manager. Now, I think that all of that is extremely significant in and of itself. But Hi-Fi and I were talking, and he brought up some other connections that we thought were interesting and valuable to bring up.
Well, the biggest thing that stood out to me, just me being a computer guy and being interested in information security and hacking. I mean, it's part of my job. It's what I do. And I love it. But the hacking community has been involved in a lot of questionable behavior, shall we say.
Yeah.
And one of those things was, the leaks that Chelsea Manning did on WikiLeaks.
Uh-huh.
On the one hand, I completely understand it exposed the United States as, at least some of those in our military as lying war criminals. And that's important. I think transparency is important. On the other hand, the way those leaks were done of such massive scale and scope, it was really damaging to the United States on the world stage, right?
Yep.
And it's funny because when they talk about Charles McGonigal and Chelsea Manning, they say that, Charles McGonigal was in charge of the FBI team that hunted down Chelsea Manning. And that's how it's reported in the news. And actually, that's not true. Because there was a guy named Adrian Lamo. And Adrian Lamo turned Chelsea Manning in. And he caught a lot of hate in the information security community
right, for
that. And he was working on something called Project Vigilant. And he just ended up dead.
Yeah, that's one of those things that tends to happen, unfortunately, to people, especially in these sort of black hat communities, right? If you step out of line, that can be very, very serious, especially when you're talking about, somebody who has committed espionage
Yeah.
on the United States, seemingly on behalf of some sort of foreign power, right? So that's when things get crazy. Now, it's fascinating, right, that the guy who's revealed as a Kremlin asset is the one who claims to have outed Chelsea Manning, when in fact it is correct that Lamo, who was in contact with Assange, and that whole the whole community, that he gets somehow deleted from history, right?
Yeah, I given the issues, given the questionable behavior, well, it goes back to the H.B. Gary Stratfor hacks. Julian Assange was compromised. I've never seen hard evidence that the rape allegations were fabricated, but I've heard
Hold
that
on.
they were.
Stand by. Hold on. Let's slow down. The H.B. Gary Stratfor hacks, right, came because WikiLeaks published emails from Palantir, Peter Thiel's company, Palantir, who was trying to run ops on Julian Assange and Glenn Greenwald to compromise or flip them. Right?
Correct. And one need only follow their behavior from that point on to realize that, yeah, they probably were.
It was a successful operation, right?
Indeed.
And
Indeed.
so the HP the those hacks resulted in Anonymous being the target, right, itself, the hacker collective, famously went after Scientology and all of that, now suddenly is a target itself, because they were involved in that hack, right?
Correct. And we know that at some point in time after that, members of the Anonymous Connect Collective, and then after Anonymous kind of broke up into the SEC, which is short for security group, LUL SEC,
Right.
Hate SEC, groups like that. They broke into the SEC, but there was still interaction and cooperation. And that's the thing with a networked insurgency. You have these cells, and sometimes these cells work together, and sometimes these cells work in opposition. And
Yeah. And some of those
it's a,
cells were actually working for the Russians. I mean, let's be
yeah.
super, super clear, right? Like, Anonymous was infiltrated by a shitload of Russians, and a whole bunch of people, that were anonymous, and many of whom still are, literally started working for the Russians to infiltrate the movement.
Well, remember, if we're going to talk about specific members of the hacker community, Andrew Orenheimer,
Right.
Weave, right? Weave was on the Chans. Weave was a troll. Weave was part of the Anons. Weave appeared in the Hacker Wars, which is a movie on YouTube. And it's not that I suggest people watch that movie. I mean, I do suggest it, but I think they need to understand that for what it is, which is it's a declaration of war upon Western society for the most part.
Right. Well, Weave, for people who don't know, went to prison for hacking and came out with a massive swastika on his chest.
So what a lot of people don't know, and what's been personally relayed to me by members of the Anonymous Collective, is that Weave didn't actually do the hack. He actually stole the data. He just went public with it.
Right. But
He
he went to prison
but
for
he went to
it.
prison for it.
Yeah.
But technically, what he went to prison for was good math. I mean, yes, it's hacking under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, but the thing with
Well,
the hacker community is you got to understand these are really intelligent people who are generally out group types. They've come together on the internet,
yep.
but they're generally, they have an axe to grind with society.
Right.
And some of them have engaged in, bad, if not illegal, behavior.
Right. Like Andrew Orenheimer, and regardless of whether he was charged with the right crime or not, he came out with a fucking swastika. I mean,
Yeah, and ultimately that's the point of that story,
right.
right?
Yeah.
I too have, my issues with society as it exists, but I also view society as upgradable, where a lot of the information security people who are involved in this think civilization needs ripped out and replaced with something else. And unfortunately, their answer for a replacement is to work with, these oligarchs and mobsters. And
Yeah, well, they're all accelerationists, right? Like, you have Peter Thiel, who's an accelerationist because he thinks that will wield him more power, right? So yeah, it just seems like all of these people are to some extent accelerationists, right? Which is this term. That hopefully people are becoming more and more familiar with, which is, like you said, they don't see any hope for the existing sort of liberal global democracy, and they want to see it ended. And that accelerationism, goes all the way from Peter Thiel, who's set up all these companies and shit to benefit from the destruction of civilization. And then you have this sort of more common neo-Nazi accelerationists who just think that they're being replaced and they need to tear society down in order to save white people. But it's all the same basic.
well, you left one group out. There's also the anarchist accelerationists who
Yes.
hate society and want to tear it down.
Right. Well, anarchy is anarchists. That's a whole other show we should get into,
Well, okay,
because
look at it this way, Matt.
there are forms of anarchism that I, may not totally ascribe to myself, but absolutely feel affinity to, and wish to some extent that. Anarchist society, because that could actually, work. But the truth is that anarchism can't work by itself. It has to be, combined with something else, which is not anarchism. And, ultimately, it's not anarchism. So, I don't know.
Well, the principle of anarchism, and there's a whole bunch of different ones. They all
The
break into these
whole.
little semantic sects and whatnot. I'm a pragmatist about this. Ultimately, yes, I'm an anarchist. I would very much like, everyone to comport themselves as grown, mature adults, and we,
Right.
government should be administration of resources for the benefit of maximum end users, period, right?
Yeah.
And it's not, it's weaponized, we know that. But I'm also a pragmatist in that people right now aren't educated enough and smart enough to have that sort of existence. They do foolish things. They over-imbibe in intoxicants, and they cause destruction and damage, and they hurt each other. And you know, they just, you know, they behave like animals. Until such time as humanity has evolved enough, that's going to be the status quo, unfortunately.
Well,
so what these ex I it, well, what the accelerationists want to do is they want to speed up the evolution.
Right.
They you know, and unfortunately, Weave actually says it in the movie Hacker Wars. It's going to take a lot of blood.
Right. No, and you know, the hardcore guys, they, you know, all the suicide trolls and stuff out there, right? They literally see, you know, somebody killing themselves as a success story, right? They, you know, want chaos and blood and trauma and, you know, heartbreak. And yes, you can sort of ascribe that to a political ideology, sorta, but mainly it's just weaponized sociopathy, right? It's just,
oh, absolutely.
It's just, and that's what, you know, not to get too broad here, you know, but social media is designed, it seemingly, to institutionalize the weaponization of sociopathy, right? It's there to put it into a larger, more directed, weaponizable form. And you know, so all this cruelty and sociopathy just gets, you know, pointed at individual people to tear them down.
Well, I find it amusing in a very dark way that the people who are engaged in this behavior, the trolls, the hackers, the professional trolls, the professional hackers, the private intel people, you know, even apparently some of our own intelligence agents who are provoking violence on both sides, right?
You bet.
They are engaging in this behavior because they are critical of society as it exists, of civilization as it exists, for different reasons.
Right.
But in their critiquing of society, they have become the things in society they have a problem with. They have exactly. become the bullies. They have become the backstabbers. They have become right. the liars. Right. Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's it. Once you think that society as a whole is rotten, it gives you the internal rationalization to align yourself with anyone, right? Like, as long as you agree with me that, you know, liberal democracy, you know, is a scourge on humanity, I don't care what else you believe. I don't care who you want to kill, because I want to kill everybody, right? It gets that dark, unfortunately, and that darkness is on both sides. And you know, the hacker community, in particular, you know, arguably is rooted, you know, more on the left than on the right. But ended up doing the business of a whole bunch of fascists.
Well, there's also, you know, there's also a capitalist element to it, right?
Of course, always.
A lot of these people are getting paid.
Always, yes, of course.
And you know, they could be getting paid through Twitch streams or online sales of goods, or who knows, right?
Right.
And I have to. I have to admit, I don't. Is the society we live in rotten? Yes, to an extent, there is corruption. Corruption absolutely exists. I mean, there have been blatant examples of it. Just look at the PPP scandals that have been going on, right?
Right.
But I don't want to destroy it. I believe it can be upgraded. But in this tug of war, this back and forth between Republican and Democrat that we've created, you know, we move a couple inches one way and then a couple inches back the other way. But unfortunately, by moving back the other way to this retrograde mindset, we're allowing, you know, the, and I hate to use visceral terms, but it's what it is. It's the rape and the destruction of our ecosphere to our detriment. These petroleum right. companies are killing us.
No, it's really 100% true that, you know, well, you mix capitalism with a non-renewable energy source, which, you know, powers humanity, and you get a very, very strong sort of pull to get as much of this stuff out of the ground as possible and make sure that nobody is going to compete with you, right? And so that's why all these oil and gas company executives are Christo fascists and, you know, push all this end times bullshit, is because it doesn't fucking matter if the earth burns up, because the earth's going to burn up anyway. Jesus is going to come save the good people and leave all the Jews and all the heretics behind. That's what they push. And as always, it's hard to tell how much of it they actually believe and how much of it is just their rationalization for greed, right?
Well, I think one thing that's really, really important to this story is for people to understand that these petroleum companies and these energy companies, you know, from, we talked about it on RadPod, these energy companies from the local level to the national level to the international level are now utilizing private intelligence companies to carry out the tactics of raid culture.
Yep.
Right. The infiltration and destruction of groups, to the detriment of anyone who tries to organize against them, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, there's this group, you know, Yonder, which was used to be called New Intelligence. I can't remember the old phrase for it. But they've been organizing, you know, troll attacks and, you know, quote, influence campaigns since 2016. You know, and they've been directing, sort of puppeteering a whole bunch of the people that have been attacking us. And it all comes from that private intel community. And the interesting thing about a lot of those groups, right? Like there's XE Intel and Palantir for that matter, were funded by InQtel, which was the CIA incubator. The CIA incubated Palantir. They incubated a lot of these, you know, XE Intel, which ran so many harmful operations on people, you know, for years. You know, they're populated with Intel people. Sometimes current Intel people. And, you know, it's naive for people to think that, you know, our own intelligence services are not participating in this.
Well, it's endemic, right? Generally, intelligence agents are smart. You have to have hackers in the intelligence services. You have hackers working for private intel companies. I mean, you know, that Team Jorge thing that just came out. Have you seen that? He controlled, you know, 30,000 accounts.
No, I'm not sure. I've seen that.
Well, it was, you know, it's basically like the the next step of Cambridge Analytica. You know, Cambridge Analytica ran online campaigns,
yep,
targeted. Well, this Team Jorge guy, he was running targeted campaigns where you could create automatic accounts and have them, you know, troll your opponent's supporters, divert conversations, run operations, all sorts of stuff. And all of that is digital. All of that requires programmers. All of that requires, you know, hackers, programmers, coders. It's, I don't think people... I love the information security community, and I like hacking. I think having a hacker mindset and how can things be broken and how can you exploit vulnerabilities, that's a great way to think because it helps you patch the systems you're part of. But again, I hate to go back to this technology analogy, but a lot of these people want to rip out the system as it exists and put something in place that's not a good option, maybe for some of them, but not a lot of them.
Well, that's right? The thing. Like, it's a game of Survivor. They all think that they are destined to be the kind of ultimate survivor, right? Religious people think that Jesus is going to come get them. Peter Thiel's and Elon Musk's of the world think they're going to be the literal oligarchs of the world, right? And they know that, you know, all of these people that they're allying with, you know, aren't going to be, can't be on the you know, in the final round, as it were.
The bunker doesn't fit everyone, folks.
Exactly. And so, you know, as the whole thing, as they kind of come together right now, and you can just see it. You can see who's on the same, on the wrong side. They're, generally speaking, the easiest way to tell is their attitude about Russia. Right? They're really basically that simple.
Well, going back to Russia, that takes us back to Charles McGonagall.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Charles McGonagall Charles McGonagall was involved in all sorts of stuff, right? So there was Chelsea, but leading up to the 2016 election, just to be clear, it was the NYPD and the New York FBI that generated all of the propaganda about Hillary Clinton, that, you know, quote unquote, forced James Comey to reopen the email investigation, which cost her the election. So I've find it fascinating, right, that it seemed like all of these people, you know, Mike Flynn, for example, with Snowden, right? Another very sort of
similar, another big, huge WikiLeaks.
Another big, huge WikiLeaks leak that Edward Snowden got DIA top secret documents from Mike Flynn's servers while Mike Flynn was at GRU headquarters.
Oh, and hold on. Here's the real problem.
Uh-huh.
Edward Snowden was a contractor for the National Security Agency.
Right. Had no access to DIA servers.
Why? Well, how? What?
No, he had no access to DIA servers. There was no
exactly.
reason. There was no reason for Edward Snowden to have access to those servers, and no one has ever explained it. In the meantime, Mike Flynn was in fucking GRU headquarters, and by the way, during that same month, Michael Hastings died in a one-car crash, out of the blue, right after talking to Joseph fucking Biggs, who is currently, at trial for seditious conspiracy. So,
and so what I'd like to explain to our audience right now is what we are doing. And this is something I do, again, from a technology aspect, is I create network maps. You know, what servers connect to what appliances using what connections, what kind of cables, et cetera, things like that.
Yeah.
But what we're showing you, the audience, is a network made of people and defining circumstances, timelines of events, the history of things.
Right. Well, I mean, so if we think about just timeline, right? You got Chelsea, 2009, right? You got Palantir, you know, HB Gary going after Assange, and 2010, 2011, they get flipped, and then Anonymous starts to get infiltrated. 2013, Edward Snowden, you know, breaks into Mike Flynn's DIA server, or, you know, is let into Mike Flynn's DIA servers. 2014, Vladimir Putin invades Crimea under Mike Flynn's nose, right? Without a peep from anybody. Like that period of time and those operations set us up for where we are now. Because what did Julian Assange and WikiLeaks go on to do? They were the central focus of the operations to bring down Hillary Clinton. It was John Podesta's emails that, you know, created the propaganda that the NYPD and New York FBI used to reopen the email investigation. It was all part of the same operation with the same players, right? The same people, Julian Assange and Mike Flynn and Roger Stone, all of the same.
Jerome Corsi,
who's been, you know, the CNP member who went on to help start QAnon with Tracy Diaz. They're all part of the same network. And what is the thing they have in common? Being compromised by the fucking Russians. And we have got to stop being so afraid of saying, look, there's a reason, you know, why Charles McGonigal being indicted as a Russian spy is important. It's also important to understand that that was 7 fucking years ago. Right? Why are we finding out now that Charles McGonigal was a Russian spy? What the fuck? So, you know, let's not get too off track on the justice system, which, in my view, is entirely broken right now.
I would tend to agree with that assessment.
But, you know, the reality is that we've got this blatant issue, and we've got these people running around who are clearly doing the business of our enemies. And we're too afraid to call that out. We're too afraid to call out the Kremlin propaganda and the psyops, you know, that are being, you know, shoved down everybody's throat all the time. And so, yeah, I think it's important to sort of reach back and say, listen, these things have been going on forever. And until we recognize this pattern of our own government, you know, sort of being complicit in allowing these things to happen and not bringing accountability, you know, maybe the accelerationists are right.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? Is you almost start to understand the point of view. Yeah. But here's the thing for our intelligence communities, right? The question becomes, as I've said time and time again, are you incompetent or are you complicit?
Right.
Right.
It's always tough, right? And there's gradations between those. Sometimes people are incompetent and complicit. Sometimes people are willfully incompetent. You know,
well, that's also a term in technology, is malicious compliance, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, I was just following the rules, even though, yeah, you know, following the rules is going to lead to, you know, problem.
We have problems because we have, you know, people working for foreign governments inside our intelligence services. We know we have hackers working, you know, for organizations inside this country who bear ill will towards our country. We have hackers working for foreign governments, both inside and outside of our country, scattered around the world, because they are a global community.
Yeah.
We need to acknowledge what's going on. And maybe by, you know, us helping the audience understand the history of it, it helps realize how we got here and all the craziness and psyops and everything that we've just dealt with.
Right. Well, the you know, watching it, it's fascinating to see how these things that used to be done sort of, you know, underground in the dark, these same sorts of operations, the same sort of propaganda, you know, all the stuff that they kind of test ran on 4chan and 8chan, those exact operations, the brigades, the raids, the attacks, the you know, the smearing, the mind fucking, all of these things are now just on the surface because, you know, Elmo bought Twitter. He's just like, knock yourself out, guys, like, fucking Gamergate it up, basically, right? And that's
right
now. It's just, and I wrote about this recently. It's like full combat warfare, information warfare, and the thing to that people need to understand is all of this shit has been incubated for years and years,
decades.
Decades, and we're just, you know, we're just seeing it all come to the surface. My only hope is that now it's surface, people, you know, especially if we can, you know, people can start to understand, you know, where this comes from. That this is a disease. It's you said the word endemic. It's an endemic disease to our current system. That needs to get rooted out. We got to get serious about this and understand these elements in our society, because they're embedded. They're not external, and if we don't figure it out soon, you know, they're going to win.
Well, you know, we are literally in a hacker war, and our vulnerabilities are being exploited from, you know, our constitutional vulnerabilities, because our constitution hasn't been upgraded in forever, to exploitation of our legal system through its vulnerabilities, to exploitation of our very minds and our souls through their vulnerabilities.
Not to mention our political system.
Oh, geez. That thing is so, it's so, I mean, we could have another 2-hour long podcast about online money laundering and political manipulation, you know. I mean, it's just,
well, I mean, it was institutionalized with Citizens United, right? I mean, all of a sudden it was legal to have giant corporations run psyops on American citizens in order to change their vote. Right? Like, that should not be okay.
Well, that's the fundamental problem with that argument, that money equals speech. Right. Money is far more powerful than speech because money can alter reality.
That's right. That's exactly right. You're not, it's not speech when you are, you know, creating propaganda bubbles for people to get sucked into, you know, and be brainwashed into, you know, fascist bull.
Yeah.
Well,
that's where we are.
It is. Well, as always, this has been
great. Well, I have one thing I want to end this on.
I was about to say, my friend Hi-Fi always has one more thing, and this is your opportunity to inform our audience about what that is.
And it has to go with, you know, we talked a lot about the ideology of those who would bring the system down. James Baldwin, I think, said it best. He said, "I love America more than any other country in the world. And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually." And I'd like to put Hi-Fi's addendum on that, but I'm not going to burn it down. I'm going to upgrade it.
Yeah. Well, there's a difference between constructive criticism and criticism, you know, that is born out of lies and hate, right?
Malice.
And you know, what we're trying to do is figure out, you know, okay, what's wrong here so we can fix it? Not, it's all just a cesspool of degenerates and, you know, therefore let's burn it down and, you know, form up behind some authoritarian. Which is what they want.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, sorry, not on our fucking watch.
No, so, we could have a whole nother podcast on that, man. Just that, well, right there.
You know, we got plenty of time, my friend. We'll do it again very soon. As always, I really appreciate you. Thank you for coming on, man.
Cheers, man.